The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Gavin.
If you weren't aware, today is National Walk Your Dog Day.
Oh, I'm not aware because I'm not a dog person.
No, I'm
not. I want to be so badly, but I just can't.
And you've had dogs in the past,
right? Well, I had dogs growing up as a kid.
Sure.
And then we had one when I had a kid. And it just didn't go well.
Sure. I have two dogs myself. One, she's a sweetheart, and like she's so gentle and easy. And the other is a monster.
And the other is Jasper.
But according to dog experts, skipping the daily walk with your dog can actually be a bigger deal than you would ever expect for your dog's emotional and physical well-being. I definitely understand this world where, again, if you're not a dog person, you're like, oh, like, how much do we need to worry about
the dog's emotional well-being? Are we here now? This is what we're doing. What triggers your dog?
I know. Well, everything triggers my dogs. But apparently, you know, when it comes to walking your dog, it is about stimulation. So they kind of compared it. And I'll say this. I moved from an apartment to a house where we got a backyard. And that was a big help for waking up in the morning, letting them out.
Yes.
And bringing them back instead of having to walk them or do that kind of thing. It's an easier thing on your schedule. But walking is good for the dog because it offers stimulation. They're saying that if you compare it to saying, hey, go out into your bathroom and enjoy yourself, like going out there is not going to offer as much stimulation as going on a walk where they can get new smells, see new sights, because apparently dogs have 50 more olfactory senses than humans do. So that really is how they see the world.
That's why they have humans track, or they have dogs track people, not other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, their sniffers are pretty good.
But they also say that there are three good reasons for the dogs going on a walk. It's a form of exercise for them. It offers a sense of companionship and then it's also about that mental stimulation.
I mean, honestly, if you think about it, without like being overly sensitive, like we talk about, we get animals for companionship all the time, but our animals actually want companionship from us too.
It is
for the
a
most
two-way
part.
Street.
Unless it's a cat, you know,
that's the perfect animal for just being there.
I have a cat now that like she meows constantly. And she just wants to know you're in the house.
Yeah.
Like, she'll walk around, and you can almost hear, like, meow, meow. You're like, I'm here, Sasha. And she goes, meow. Oh, like, okay, she's like, okay, we're good. Everything's fine. I think she's losing her mind, quite honestly.
Oh, poor thing.
I do think so. I could see that. And if nothing else, doing the walk would be good for you because you're trying to get your steps in.
That's what I would think.
For the dog. Yeah. So, yeah, probably a good thing. I would be a horrible dog owner because I would open the back door, have a fence.
I'm very tempted to. I've been recently walking the two of them more often, but I have this like co-leash thing where it holds both of them.
Yeah.
It's more of an arm workout for me than I think it is for
anything else.
Oh, yeah,
because your dogs
else.
Aren't small.
No, so, they're strong.
Well, there you go. If you were wondering, should I walk the dog today? The answer through science is yes.
Yes.
Uplifting WayFM, this is The Wally Show, and we like to settle disagreements where we can. People ask us to kind of be the judge and jury, and so this is where we ask you to help us out. It's called Five Calls Calls, and here's the situation Eric sent me. My wife and her best friend are currently in a heated debate on the role of the heels of loaves of bread, the heels in a loaf of bread. My wife says they're to be eaten like any other slice of bread. Yes, if you're a serial killer.
Yeah.
And her bestie says they are used to keep the other slices of bread fresh until eaten. Then when the regular slices are gone, they get tossed out. Eric says, I've never given that much thought to this, nor realized there are such strong opinions over bread heels. Not the preferred slice of bread to be eaten in the loaf, but eatable nonetheless, in my opinion. What? He just sided with his wife's best friend.
I would say so.
What he did.
That's a tough angle to take, Eric.
That's bold, Eric. All right, so we throw this out to you. I'm just curious. We do five calls that you help us out. Do you eat the end pieces of bread, those weird heels, that have very little bread to them.
There's no flavor.
No, I mean, crust. Do you throw them away and they are literally there just to keep the bread fresh, which I'm of that thing. I would maybe eat them. Like, let's say I've been stranded on a desert island and I have a loaf of bread and I'm probably not going to be rescued for, a month. I will go through the bread that's in between.
Sure.
Then I will eat the bag that it came in, and then I might eat some dirt and some leaves, and if all else fails, then go to the end pieces of bread.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like I'm being dramatic, but that's where I stand.
That's
so
how bad it is.
All right, 855-33-WAY-FM. Your chance to weigh in on this very serious debate right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. Do you eat the heels of bread, the two pieces at the end, in a loaf, or do you throw those out like a responsible human being? 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So, Brittany, what do you say?
I also say absolutely not. And I think he was crazy for agreeing with the friend, even if he does eat the bread.
Absolutely.
Because this is just not a battle to lose with your wife.
That's very true. Like, honey, I support you 100%. And then eat the bread in the closet or the pantry by yourself. Eat those heels. All right, Jess, you're up. What do you say? Do you eat the heels of a loaf of bread or do you toss them out?
We grew up poor. We eat the heels.
Okay, so now you are better off now, but you still eat the heels just out of habit and how you were raised.
Yes, but it is generally the last two slices I eat.
Now, I'm curious, do you put one heel of bread with a normal piece to at least have a half-normal sandwich?
No.
No, so at the end of it, it's like, okay, this is just a train wreck. Here are the two ends of the bread. We'll throw some ham or peanut butter and jelly in between there, and we'll call it a day.
Look, you put enough peanut butter and jelly on it, you ain't going to realize it's the heel of the bread.
That's very true. Very true, Jess. Thank you. All right, Ava, you're up. Thank you for weighing in on this very important dilemma about eating the heels of a loaf of bread or throwing them away. Where do you land?
We definitely throw them away unless it's a very desperate situation.
Oh, yeah, I totally get that one. All right, Serta, it's Five Calls Calls It. What do you say?
Hi, I love those little pieces.
Oh, the end pieces. You love them? Like, not just tolerate them, but you love them?
Yes, my husband always threw them away. I'm like, no, keep them. I want them. I
wow.
love them.
Who hurt you? I mean, that's my only question here. Because no one loves those pieces of bread.
I'm different.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, they don't have no big pieces of, like, you know, the middle, much flour and stuff.
Yeah,
so
where all the taste
that's
is.
The best part.
Exactly. You get rid of all that taste.
Part.
That's a great idea, Serta.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right, Sheila, you're the last caller for Five Calls Calls It. What do you say? Do you eat the heels of loaf of bread or do you toss them?
I generally toss them, but what I was taught by my mom and my grandmother from living in the Great Depression, if you eat the heels first, cannot make ends meet. That's where that phrase comes from.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, that's what making ends meet means.
No one expected us to learn that out of Five Calls Calls It debating throwing out the heels of a loaf of bread today. Well, thank you. I feel smarter because I met you today, Sheila.
Aw, thanks, Wally.
Hey, have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us, but going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures, and I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that, but it was so different than I had imagined. And way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of, but instead I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
If you want something that feels different from the regular news, we've got you covered. It's News-ish on The Wally Show.
So while Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes get most of the glory for winning the Super Bowl, it was a great game recently, but people in the organization and in the league know that it would not have been possible without the defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. And they call them spags because that's way easier to say. And so I'm going to use spags from now on. Here's the cool thing about him. He's not only good at his job, he's also a leader for faith in the locker room with players and coaches. Oh. I never knew this.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
and I hadn't seen that.
I say that like I even knew who he was. so you knew his name?
I knew his name. I know he's a great, from a technical football standpoint, he's really good at that. But to hear kind of this personal and human and faith side of him is really cool.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you see the athletes, they score the touchdown, they point up, or there are athletes that are very outspoken about their faith because they have the platform.
Yeah.
And I think Mahomes is, and some other guys are, and that's great. I love that. But this is a guy that's kind of behind the scenes. And so to see him get a little bit of time and using that time to share his faith, I think is cool. And so he says he tries to read the Bible every morning. He's strengthened by its truth. He's active in the coach's Bible study. The Chiefs have a chaplain, which is pretty great too. And in a world where we try to remove God from everything, I love when businesses, because football is a business, sees the value of having a chaplain on staff for its team. Awesome.
And like for Spags, he's in that position of leadership, especially when there are some really young guys who are coming into the league and have to figure out how to be a professional and to have that kind of person of faith who's also maybe able to speak truth into these young kids' lives is really cool.
It's interesting because he's even grown in his own faith, because he said, I'm not sure in the first Super Bowl win that we had, I gave glory to God where it should be and is deserved. Now I try to do that all the time because without him, I wouldn't be where I am. We wouldn't be able to do the things we've done. I wouldn't have the wife I had. I could go on and on about the blessings I have, and I'm certainly indebted to the Lord Almighty.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so that's awesome. And again, if you see the thread through his comments, it's gratitude. And if we can learn to be grateful in our faith, that's one of those things that it deepens our faith in God constantly. And so, I thought that was kind of a cool thing. And I had a thought this morning too. Actually, it was funny that these are connected, but I had a thought about gratitude. And I was going through my list, Lord, I'm so thankful. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And then I was like, you know what though, dude, you got to be able to be thankful when things don't go your way. And when things, aren't looking that great, you've got to still be able to say, God, thank you. And there's actually a reference in the Bible about giving praise in the bad times. And it's not that you're giving praise for the bad times. The context of that verse is actually you're giving praise that God is with you in those bad times, which gave me a whole different perspective on it.
That's way different.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm glad that we play songs like this by Brandon Lake, Gratitude. It's a great lesson and a full circle moment here for this story.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude?
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And a lot of times when Gavin is preparing for his weekly music segment, TMI, he finds too much information, we like to talk about it because it's good stuff. And so you found something from Brandon Lake, who from this song.
I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise, and the highest praise.
Yeah, he had this video that he had recently released on his Instagram page where he was talking about how he kind of hears God when he has that conversation with him. And a lot of people, I don't personally go through a lot of my day intentionally feeling like I hear actual words from God.
Right.
But I kind of like the twist that he puts on how he pictures God talking to him.
When I'm just talking to God and I really hear his voice, it's not these grand things. It's very personal and it's very elementary. One of the quickest things I hear God say is, I like you. I like spending time with you. I think you're funny. Hearing his voice, not just his voice to the church, his voice to me, what he says about me, it'll change your life.
That's kind of a cool perspective because, we talk about having a personal relationship with God, but then God can also feel like this big, ethereal, distant, ominous thing, And I love it. He's like, yeah, I think you're funny. That's what he hears.
I was on the phone, with my mom and dad last night, and if I were to kind of do a similar comparison of God the Father and talking to him like I was just talking to my dad on the phone, it would put kind of my relationship with God into a much different, you know, perspective for me.
Yeah. So this is what I want to talk about, though, because he talks about how you hear God and it's what he needs to hear from God. And now, I there are some people that they hear the audible voice of God. Never been my story, ever. It's the things that I feel inside, or sometimes I feel like God is getting my attention and giving me what I need through a song or through other people or a billboard or, you know, a TV show or something, a thought. And so I'm curious, how have you seen God give you exactly what you needed to hear? Like for Brandon, he's like, sometimes I just need to hear that I'm loved and I like you, you know? How did you ever hear God, in essence, speaking to you through something else? Like, and what did you need to hear? I'd love to hear your stories with this. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's how you can be on the show. We love having your call. Put that in your favorites so you can get right through. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What is a way that you've heard something that you need from God that maybe wasn't audible?
Okay, this might sound awkward or weird, but it's through you guys, and it's through something specifically that you did for me, and it was perfect timing right when I needed it.
Oh, that's super cool, because trust me, I'm like a trained monkey pushing buttons. I got nothing in this equation, but the fact that God uses donkeys in the Bible and DJs today, you know, to land something with people, it's great. What was it?
Okay, so I called in the beginning of December, and I told you guys about the story of my brother passing away just a few minutes after my baby was born.
Yes, I totally remember you. Yes.
You guys used part of my story all through the month of December. And to think of all the people that were hearing my story and hopefully, like, growing closer to God because of my story, that just, oh my goodness. And then to top it all off, Christmas Day was kind of rough because it's Christmas and I was missing my brother and all the things were going through my mind. And I heard my clip again. And then the next song that came on was Amy Grant, and she's my absolute fave, lifetime fave. It was just perfect timing that I heard my own voice saying it's okay to not be okay.
I just love how God will give you what you need when you need it most, you know, and if we got the ears to hear and we're tuned into him, we don't miss it. So I'm so glad that you got to hear that, and you're absolutely right. I think that your story is something that, you know, even in the sadness, beauty from ashes, you know, is what God does best. And like, even in that sadness of that story, there was hope and there was help for other people. So we appreciate you sharing that and calling back and giving us the update today. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
When have you seen God give you something that you needed that maybe wasn't audible?
Well, I was going through a divorce after 30 years of marriage in my mid-50s, had been a homemaker for 25 years, was totally panicked about facing the world. I was in Kohl's one day shopping, not a Christian bookstore, and I was back there in the section with the signs and the plaques, and I turned around and there was a plaque that said, "Is your faith greater than your fear?" I was like, wow, this is Kohl's, you know?
Yeah, you don't expect that. Kohl's is like, how did this get in here?
But anyway, I bought that plaque and I said, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me that you're walking through this with me. And someday I will be able to help some other lady walk through this situation too. And God did. He blessed me. He carried me through that. I got back in the HR field. I became an HR manager when everybody kept saying, oh, you're too old. You're never going to get a good job, you know?
And you're very smart to get into HR, being older, because then you can't fire yourself. You know, that's genius. That's so smart of you.
Thank you, Molly. I enjoy your show. So I hope that that testimony encourages some lady today that, you know, the world's telling her, oh, you're just done in. You can't get another job. Because I hope they remember, yes, God does open doors.
I love that. And is your faith bigger than your fear? Perfect. Vicki, thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, Wally. I enjoy your show.
Up uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. Calling all angels. That's what we're doing here. This has been really cool. We've been partnering with the movie Ordinary Angel, which is the story starring Hilary Swank. It's a true story about this lady who just kind of gives her life to help this family in need that lost their mom. And she's the thing I love about how they tell the story is she's this broken mess, and you think it's going to be perfect, like, oh, she's going to get her act together while she helps this family, but she doesn't fully. It's really reality, and I really love the movie. And so we thought, okay, well, let's do this. Let's find some ordinary angels, just regular, real people that are serving other people, and you tell us about them. And if you do, there's some cool prizes. And so Laurel nominated Jill. And she says, my husband passed away from a heart attack last year, leaving me with a 9-year-old son. And Jackson refused to go to school after Jason, her husband's death.
Oh, wow.
The school counselor, Jill, came to get him for school. She got him out of bed by playing soccer, buying him a lunch, letting him help with her kinder gym. He refused to go to therapy, but Jill was the one person he would talk to about grief. I think this is crazy. Like, as a mom, you don't care. You want to be there for your kid, but sometimes that job ends up going to somebody else.
Sure.
Because your kid feels more comfortable with them for whatever reason. And I love that she's, you know, highlighting this lady that was like, man, she took care of my son. She says over the summer, she came to play with Jackson, and he'd get so excited about going into fifth grade, and we couldn't have made it this far without her. Jill is the head angel of our army of angels.
Oh, that's
love
weird.
That. And see, that's what we're talking about right now. So here's what's cool is Laurel gets 4 tickets to see the movie Ordinary Angels in theaters tomorrow just for nominating Jill, and Jill is in for our grand prize now of $2,500 just for being a cool person.
That's,
you know,
really cool.
And I love that. And so Ordinary Angels helped us provide that, which I'm really, really thankful for. And we love getting to highlight these people. And so we're going to do our grand prize drawing tomorrow, and we'll see who wins this thing. But there's really no losers in this. Mm-mm. Because they all honestly are great people that are giving back and helping the people around them. And that's really what this is all about. So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels, starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like, you got Blindside at one end,
yeah,
and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
He's kind of smart.
Guys have underestimated me my entire life.
Sorry, read that wrong. He's kind and smart. It's News-ish with Gavin.
As someone who got married 5 years ago and has, and in my young life, been to 10 plus weddings over the last 5 or so years, I've seen different ranges of what look like, you know, DIY type weddings or kind of high-end expensive weddings. And I will say, I kind of hope that I have, you know, a son someday. And pay a little. It's a scary price tag.
I have a daughter, and I want a DIY wedding badly. Like, because one of her best friends is getting married. I'm actually officiating the wedding.
That's
and
so
I'm
cool.
Watching what they are spending, and I keep telling my daughter, like, no. I even told this girl, when she asked me to officiate the wedding, and it was telling me what they were going to do, I told her, I said, you know I love you, but I'm so glad you're not mine.
That's awesome. Well, I did find, speaking of DIY weddings, I found this list of DIY hacks. If you want to go down the route of, you know, finding a way to make your wedding a little bit cheaper. Not less memorable,
sure,
but, you know, smaller price tag. So
more money doesn't mean more memorable.
No. The thing I remember is just being married more than I remember all
absolutely.
Of the details. Now, my wife, she might remember the details, but she put the work in. But here are a few hacks for you. So the first one comes with the bouquets. And I will be honest, this is, I'm a guy talking about bouquets. It's not my realm of expertise, and I didn't care as much. But my wife actually, for the flowers for our wedding, she actually went to Hobby Lobby and bought flowers there, which
are
a lot cheaper than professionally done flowers. Now, that is one hack. The other hack is if you want to get real flowers, they say that you can get the flowers and then do them up yourself. Make the bouquet yourself instead of having a professional put them together. They recommend like a rubber band or string as a way to just kind of keep them compact. So that's one way to
I would use raffia, but that's just me.
I want to
make it nice. Another hack is go to a cemetery. And I'm just kidding.
Don't do that.
I saw this video on TikTok of this girl asking her fiance if he had any idea how much things cost, and she's like, okay, the flowers, and he's like, I don't know, 300. She's like, 15,000, and he's like, what? And she kept going through each thing, and each thing got so much worse for this poor guy.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
the next thing had to do with the wedding signage, kind of just like that, you know, kind of poster that you might see as you're walking in that says, like, oh, this is, you know, Gavin and Haley's wedding. They say that instead of, you know, purchasing this like really handmade, well done piece, if you've got, let's say, a mirror lying around that you're not using anymore, clean that up, and then using kind of like white marker to do the title of your wedding, the people getting married. So that's one thing you could do. And then the centerpieces, which, again, for me, table, food,
doesn't matter.
It's about as good
the
as
the centerpiece
gets
moved anyway. You're like, this isn't my way. I can't talk to the person across from me.
But some people do put a lot of thought into what the centerpiece is. The idea that this person had, I actually kind of like. So you, again, you can go down the route of flowers. Maybe, again, it's like Hobby Lobby fake flowers that still look really good. Again, and there's going to be lighting. It's not going to be, you're not going to see all the details per se. But they actually said going to thrift stores and buying different sized vases.
Sure.
And then using those, clean them up, obviously. And then using those, putting the flowers in. That way you've got kind of dynamic ranges when it comes to the centerpieces.
Mismatch is very chic still. I saw one thing recently where this bride did the guest registry, and she went above and beyond. Like, she took, and she knew who was coming from RSVPs, and she made an old-style yearbook with each of their photos in there and a little blurb. And, like, that was super memorable, and then everybody signed that. So it was like signing a yearbook.
Oh, that's really
so
good.
So that's, like, a really cool thing that was super DIY.
Exactly.
And it's something you can get printed online, and so that might be a good thing. If you're going through the process of doing a wedding right now, maybe a couple of these ideas will help you and help you save money. I wrote them all down for when my daughter gets married, because I'm going to try to make the nicest but cheapest wedding that you've ever seen.
Good job.
Gavin's a threat. He's understated and underrated, but I think he could steal this game.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. And so we're going to put you against Gavin, kind of, okay? You don't have to know more than Gavin knows, because that's impossible.
Yeah.
If you've seen the size of this kid's head.
Oh.
Like, there is so much knowledge crammed into there that is actually expanding his cranium to an unhealthy size. He can't button hats anymore.
Oh, I'm on the last button of every single. I bought hat extenders because this head will not stop growing.
Filled with knowledge. So you're not going to have to know more than him, because quite frankly, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are going to have to do is just guess whether Gavin will get the answer right. Some of the questions might be in his wheelhouse, and we all have blind spots. There are things we should know that we don't.
I don't know anything about tools or fixing things or manly stuff.
We're going to go over some anatomy is one thing.
Took that class in high school.
Let me see. Some literature and sports.
Oh, let's go. I'm in for the day.
Okay, so that's it. So all you have to do is, if you want to play along, 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. And just tell us, do you think Gavin will get it right or wrong? And if you match whatever his outcome is, you will win a prize 2 out of 3 times. So here we go. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. If you want to play a little, will Gavin get it now? All right, Gavin, we're going to start off in your wheelhouse.
Oh, thank goodness.
Sports, 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 sports. Okay, so here's the question. Which country won the first Soccer World Cup? Oh, now, no. I will give you some choices.
Okay.
Do you think he's going to get this right or wrong, Shelley?
Oh, he'll probably get this one right. Even I know it.
You do? Oh, even she knows it. Okay. So here we go. Which country won the first World Cup? Was it Brazil, Germany, or Uruguay?
Oh.
None of those teams were what you were thinking?
Well, no. It's funny because the first two made sense in my head.
Yeah.
Germany and Brazil, was that
sure,
the other?
Yeah.
And then Uruguay,
yeah,
out of nowhere.
Okay.
Makes me feel like, because I just didn't know this off the top of my head.
Right.
That sounds like a trick question, because I don't know Uruguay for soccer. I'm going to go with Uruguay,
You're
going
to go with Uruguay. Do you think that's a good idea, Shelley?
No.
Who do you think it was?
Brazil.
Well, the good news is Gavin is smarter than even he thinks, and you bet on him. It is Uruguay.
Really? No way.
Yes. Wow.
Everyone's surprised there.
Well, there I don't go. Know it then.
Good job, Gavin. Okay, here you go. General knowledge question here.
Okay.
How many bones are in the human body? And I'm going to give you plus or minus five on this, okay? So do you think he'll get this right or wrong, Shelley?
I think he'll get it wrong.
Wrong, yeah, because he only has a five-bone window. So how many bones, Gavin?
Yeah, it's got to be a huge number because there's just so many little ones and like the fingers and the toes. I'm going to go with 320.
320. What do you think about that, Shelley? Is he a little high, a little low?
He's just not right.
Yeah, she's not sure either.
I hope so.
But you know what? You said he would get it wrong, and he definitely got it wrong. There's 206 bones in the body.
Yeah. I was off.
I was thinking there were 212, so.
Oh.
Well, the good news is you bet against Gavin, which was the right call. That's
call.
Two out of three. You won.
Yay.
Nicely done, Shelley. We appreciate you playing. Will Gavin get it? And speaking of get it, you're going to get a really nice prize.
Well, thank you.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. If you're ever in need of prayer, we have this really cool thing called the prayer wall, and there's a neat twist on it. You basically can go to wayfm.com or text the word pray to 91979. We'll send you a link, and you can post a prayer request on the prayer wall. And you can be anonymous or not anonymous, and you can control kind of how your interaction is. If you click a box that says, I'd love to get notifications when people pray for me, your information is not shared with anybody. But other people, when they're praying, they read your request and they're like, oh, this connects with me. I want to pray about this. They'll pray. And when they're done, they just click a box that says, I just prayed for this. And then ding, you'll get a notification in your inbox, whether it's text or email, that says, oh, somebody just prayed for you. And I'm telling you, that is the coolest part of the prayer wall, is you'll get actual notifications and notices that people are taking your prayer request seriously and taking it to God. And I've had so many people tell me like how much that meant to them. Sometimes they get a notification a week later and they're like, you're not going to believe it. It was at the perfect time when I needed it. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. I know, because that's how it works. It's like God like gives us what we need when we need it. And these requests or these notifications that come in, it's always like his timing that makes it work. And so that's why I'm never surprised by it, but I always love hearing it. And the stories, man, they run the gamut on there. There's this one from this lady that she was like, hey, please pray for my 11-year-old son, Jacoby. He has a court-ordered reunification therapy with his biological dad over Zoom. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't know him. He has anxiety over it. He's violent and abusive, you know, and that's why I divorced him 10 years ago. Mm. And it's kind of like this kid, you know, has to face something that's an adult-sized problem as a kid. And the mom is powerless to stop it because of the system that is in place. And so she has to abide by that. But then she still doesn't want her son negatively affected. And so what do you do at that point? What can you do? The only thing you can do is pray, you know, and be like, God, just, you know, help Jacoby, you know, give him peace in this and take away his fear and maybe find something good in this that can lead to something positive and life change down the road for the dad, you know, but it's hard. It's a tough prayer, but that's just one example of what's on the prayer wall, that maybe you've been through that. Maybe you've had situations in your past where you go, I know this. I was a kid. I went through something like this. Or I'm a mom. I'm going through something like this now. I'm uniquely qualified to pray for this. Because a lot of times our mess and the like junk in our lives that we have to deal with sometimes are what make us uniquely qualified to pray for somebody else. And that's why the prayer wall is so cool. And we'd love to have you be part of it, whether you're posting prayer requests or praying for people, or best case scenario, doing both. And you can check it out by just texting the word pray to 91979, and we will send you a link gladly.
Random acts of audio.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and today's random act of audio comes to us courtesy of TikTok. It's funny because Gavin's like, hey, I saw this thing, and it's these kids singing the Colton Dixon song, Build a Boat.
I will build a boat in the sand where they say it never ends. I will stand up in faith, I'll do anything.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I saw the same song. Yeah. You know, like it's funny when you other people see the same video, because there's so many videos floating around. The fact that you see the same one.
Yeah, and this one's just precious, too. It's just like kids singing that song. And the kids could be singing any song in the world.
Sure.
I'm sure parents love seeing their kids sing songs like this.
Because the dad was in there with them playing in the background. The three kids are there, each lined up, waiting to do their part. Uh-huh. The one kid in the middle is like the youngest and has to wait till the end, which was the right but wrong decision, because she sold it.
Yes.
But she had to wait, and the whole time she's like, put me in, coach. You know, so here's a little bit. It is super cute.
I've been wandering through the desert. I see a cloud and forever over me. And I believe your rain is coming.
Ooh. Kid two.
I've been hanging on the high hopes.
Yeah, you have.
Cause you're the one who's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust in.
Youngest, third child coming in.
All star.
Every word you say is gonna come true. You will lead me to the promise.
She's got her hand up. Sassy as all get out. Big note.
I will build a boat in the sand where they say it never rains.
That's so great. I love that. I think that was... It was in the top five. It might have been the number one song most played on WayFM last year.
I heard about that.
I think it was. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I think it was. And it gets in your head. It even got into mine because I decided to do a parody song to it about my wife not wanting me to get a riding lawnmower for our tiny yard. Well, I'm like, fine. Instead of that, I'll buy a goat. And so this is the buy a goat parody song done to... Colton Dixon's Build a Boat.
I will buy a goat for the grass, cause it doesn't run on gas. Sure, it smells like methane, but it even works in rain. Yes, it eats everything. My wife's wedding ring today. I'll buy a goat to mow this place, and when my wife starts to yell, the grass is high. I'll sit on my couch, cause my goat is right outside. He's made for this job. His eyeballs look odd sideways. I'll buy a goat to mow this place.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water, and with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at WayFM.com.
Uplifting WayFM. This is The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
Betty Rock is out sick today, and so I am filling in for her. Some big shoes to fill. Gavin, how much did you spend this last year on Valentine's Day?
Is this going to look bad if I say zero?
No, not at all.
Okay, we spent $0. Well, okay, we went out and got Cane's chicken, great restaurant, made a little pizza out of it.
Yeah.
That's all I spent.
We ate at home too. I did steaks.
Yeah.
And then I bought my wife, because we don't do presents anymore, but I broke the rules and I bought her this little thing that she'd wanted for like $30, you know?
No,
and
so it's not huge.
Yeah, I didn't go like crazy. Well, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, you know him. He's a football player. You've probably heard a little bit about the power couple, Travis Kelce.
Oh, who's his name? Yeah, football guy?
Yeah, he plays football.
Taylor Swift?
For a team that does football.
Not like they've conquered the news cycle for the last 8 months.
Very, very obscure couple. He went all out. He dropped $16,000 on Valentine's Day.
And It's Ooh. Funny because you know Taylor's got money.
Yeah, so you have to do something.
You've
got to
do something.
But and he's got money.
That's just another echelon of what celebrities are able to do.
I think if I was a celebrity where, you know, say you're dating somebody who already has, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, you can't compete with that, even if you're a multimillionaire. Yeah. So you've got to go with things that seem to make sense or matter. Like, listen to her lyrics and then go find all the gifts that, like, would you know, be represented by some of her lyrics. But he went old school, roses, $7,000.
I heard about that. I don't understand how that's possible.
I don't understand either how I can be at Kroger on January 30th and a dozen roses is $12. And then a week and a half later, that dozen roses is now $40.
It's like if somebody looked at me and said, would you like this used car? Or would you like some flowers?
Yeah, take the used car, you know.
That's just crazy.
He dropped $1,000 on a leather beret.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah, style, so fashion. Nice.
$5,100 on a handbag. So again,
that's that world. That makes more sense.
$1,100 on a hat. Okay. And $1,300 on a scarf, but it's a Hermes scarf. So
good. Okay.
But he's only the sources say he wanted to show her how much he cares about her in the upcoming months as they begin to travel the world.
I do think that all those gifts are sweet. It's better than if he went to her and he's like, hey, I got you your jersey with my name on our name on it.
Which is almost when you see more of him, like, and he becomes more in the public eye, what you would expect.
In my head, you know, Taylor goes to these fancy restaurants. Yeah. Kelsey still feels like a guy who loves Chipotle.
Yes. So, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely two different worlds trying to blend, and he's trying to keep up with the Taylors, apparently. But there you go. So if you didn't spend $16,000 on your Valentine this year, I think you're money ahead.
I honestly,
you can have the same impact with $16
exactly.
If it's the right gift. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and we were just talking about how much Travis Kelce spent on Taylor Swift for Valentine's Day. 16 grand, like a $1,000 beret, $7,000 worth of flowers, and it seems extravagant. And I just don't think you need to spend that kind of money on someone, you know, really. But I guess they're in a different tax bracket. So what do you say, Shelley?
I just want to let you know that I've been married for over 40 years, and my husband and son both feel the same way. Valentine's Day is a Hallmark holiday, and you should show the women that you love or man that you love that you love them every day.
Absolutely.
And I would much rather that my husband, you know, did the dishes or folded laundry or said, oh, go take a bubble bath and I'll take care of this, than any of the stuff that Taylor Swift received.
The happiest day for me was my wife's birthday is on the 7th, and then we would go to Valentine's Day. And so early on in our marriage, I always had this pressure of buying birthday presents and then Valentine's Day presents. And so my wife got a bunch of cheap jewelry for a lot of years that I have no idea where it is, you know? And so it's one of those things that once we got a little bit more into our marriage, it was like, oh, good, we don't have to do that. Let's just go and make memories, you know, and do things that are fun that we'll always go, oh, remember that time? That was a good time.
And, you know, and like I said, after 41 years, I don't need tchotchkes. I don't
That's
need
right.
jewelry.
I just need the trash taken out, man. You're killing me. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And I recently saw a post that it got me thinking. I was like, oh, that's a really cool post. And it was, what was something about yourself that sounds made up, but is totally true? I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like something that people would not believe. I have a watch from George Washington.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a thing. And it's like in a lockbox and it was passed down through my family kind of thing. And people would think, oh, you're lying. But I actually have pictures of it on my phone so I can show people. Now, it would have been great if I had a painting of him holding it.
Sure.
Because like now everyone thinks I'm lying.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, couldn't take a selfie with Washington.
Right.
The watch.
But I have like the provenance, as they call it in the art world and in the collectibles world. So like that's something that people would not believe was true. I found this one too. This lady, she said, I bought an entire car with money I earned by donating my plasma.
Oh my goodness. that stuff nets you a little bit of cash.
Yeah, you get more money for plasma than than you do for your blood and your like platelets and stuff. Yeah, I think you do a little better for that. But yeah, so this girl, she's like, granted, it was a 10-year-old car, but hey,
still, good.
I got it, and I call it my bloodmobile.
Oh my goodness gracious, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I love that. So okay, let's do this. Let's see if people that listen to the Wally Show are wealth of weird information. Okay, so what is that thing about you? If you were to tell somebody at a party, you're surrounded by everybody, and everyone's sharing stories like, "Ooh, I can one up this. I can one up this," and you're waiting for your moment to pop it in there.
This is it.
This is your moment right now. So what's that thing about you that sounds completely made up, fabricated, too far, you know, beyond the scope of reality to be true, but it's 100% true? We'd love to hear yours now. 855-33-WAY-FM. This is 855-33-WAY-FM. If people have ever accused you of being a one-upper, this segment was made for you right now, okay? 855-33-WAY-FM. If you got one, we'll take it now. So what do you got, Catherine?
Okay, when I was in high school, I used to weightlift because I didn't get on the softball team and I needed to do something for the spring. And I started weightlifting and was able to bench 180 pounds and I only weighed 135 pounds.
Oh, wow. Benching more than you weighed. That's impressive.
Yeah. I held the record. I don't know if it's still there, but I have a record at the high school for female. Of course, I'm sure a male might be able to lift more than that, but maybe not.
I don't think I could bench 180, to be honest with you. I like, even in high school when I was in somewhat of shape, I don't think I ever benched 180. I think the most I ever benched was 150.
Wow. Okay, well, then I'm stronger than you, Wally.
Yes, you are, ma'am. Yes, you are. Well, girl, I appreciate you, Catherine, being on the show with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, Diane, you're up. What is that thing about you that sounds completely untrue but is?
I've had over 50 surgeries in my lifetime. I was born with a birth defect, and it caused me to have a lot of issues. And I was a March of Dimes poster child.
What? No way. Really? You're kind of pseudo-famous.
I'm infamous.
You're infamous. Holly, what's yours?
Well, I am only in my early 40s, and I grew up in a cabin built by my father with no electricity, no running water, and an outhouse.
No way. What part of Virginia were you in?
It's actually northern Montana.
Okay, I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you. That's crazy. So when you tell that story to, like, friends that know you now, are they just shocked?
Oh, yes. You would never know it.
What was the best / worst thing about growing up like you did?
The best? Just being in the mountains, exploring, playing, riding horses. The worst? Going to the outhouse in the middle of winter with 5 feet of snow on the ground.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's where you learn to hold it, honestly. Like, you, for most of the winter.
100%.
Oh, I love it. Well, hey, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.